When I returned from Israel in August, I spent considerable time playing the recordings, the tape recordings that I had made with him in Jerusalem. And I didn't play all the interviews on one night. I spread them out over three nights. And you haven't lost your touch. You certainly generate a volatile reaction.
I think that if saying what is true, and not pussyfooting, and not playing games with truth, if that causes a reaction that's volatile, then that's a pretty sad thing. That's a pretty sad tragedy. I think that we have become a nation so ridden with guilt at saying what is so obviously true that when I get up and I say something which is so clearly true that everybody gets uptight. That's insane. I said that Jesse Jackson is a racist, an anti-Semite, anti-white. I say it again. He is. He is. If a white man would have said what Jesse Jackson said, every Jewish group, every liberal group would have been climbing the barriers. That's what bothers me.
Now, during the course of the interview that we had in Jerusalem at your headquarters, we touched on many subjects, but you had said you would be here in October. You said that you would be picketing Jesse Jackson.
Right.
And we got several... I took phone calls afterward, and several gentlemen called. And they weren't antagonistic toward you necessarily, but they did say that they didn't think you would do that. That they doubted whether you would have the... I don't know if it was the word chutzpah was used, but that's as good as any. But they didn't think you would have the courage to do that. But here you are. Are you going to be picketing Jackson?
Oh, yeah. We organized this week a group, Jews Against Jackson. I want to, as clear as that, that's our first step. Our second step is we are going to contact Senator Moynihan and Senator Kennedy and some of the others who voted for the King bill and state that if they voted for King on the basis of brotherhood and love, which is fine, they have an obligation to stand up and say that Jackson stands for everything that is not love and not brotherhood. And I want Senator Moynihan, who in a display of histrionics threw down that all that literature of Jesse Holmes, said this is obscene. I want him to get up and say that Jesse Jackson is obscene, because Jesse Jackson is obscene. The third thing that we plan upon doing is we are going to the PUSH headquarters in Harlem, and we are going to demonstrate in Harlem, because Harlem is part of America, and you can demonstrate on Fifth Avenue, and you can demonstrate on 145th Street. And what we want to do is to make quite clear that all people are indeed equal for good and for bad. And if Jesse Jackson is bad, he is bad, black or white.
I understand what you're saying, and it's really... it's a shocking commentary on what has happened to this country that you have to state the obvious, because the obvious is not obvious when you say that Harlem is part of America. And quite candidly, there are a lot of white people who, when you say, oh, I'm going to go to PUSH headquarters in Harlem, and I'm going to demonstrate, they gasp. They gasp in a combination of awe, fear, intimidation.
Yes, well, that said, 9 years ago, when we went to the Black Panther headquarters on 125th Street and Lexington Avenue, 127th Street and Lexington Avenue, we went there for a very definite reason. Because all those people are afraid. What are they afraid of? What are they afraid of? I want to tell you something, that bullies live on people that are afraid. Well, I want Jesse Jackson to meet one Jew. I'm going to make quite clear to him, I have no guilt. I'm not a white liberal guilt-ridden creature. I think he is, if he calls me a white pig, he's a black pig. Whatever he wants to call me, he gets back. And I want to be quite clear that if the American people will not take a stand against this kind of racism, then I really have grave fears for the very future of this country.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Kahana, who is here back in the United States for how long a period? You've been back a week.
A week. I'll be here for about another month and a half. I have a lot of speaking tours, a lot of colleges, a lot of synagogues, a lot of speaking to do. And I want to get people upset and angry and think. I want insights to thinking.
Mayor Kahana, you mentioned college campuses. And without over-dramatizing the issue, the facts are overwhelming. If you are a left-wing individual, you can say the most outrageous thing and be welcome to Harvard, Brandeis, any college, you name it. If you are a person who goes against the left-wing line, you're in bad trouble. Even Jean Kirkpatrick, the ambassador to the United Nations, couldn't get on Harvard. They hissed her out of there.
That's right.
A couple of other schools. As a matter of fact, only a couple of months ago, she canceled plans to appear at any more colleges because they won't tolerate, they won't allow her there because they don't like her viewpoint.
You're right. Well, I think that there are two points about that. What she did was a tragedy because that's exactly what they wanted. You don't cancel out. You don't cancel. I've never canceled out. I've been threatened by Arabs and Iranians and leftists and Trotskyites. I never cancel out. The surest way to get me to speak on a campus is to, you know, threaten me. What kind of nonsense is that? Secondly, you're very, very, very right. You're very, very right. There is a tremendous dearth of ideological training in this country. We are not in a military struggle with the Russians. We are in an ideological struggle. Soviet youngsters are taught ideologically, and we are good. Everything is good. There is no objective truth. I was just saying earlier to someone that Margaret Mead gets up and says, well, there is a South Sea Island in which the people eat their mothers-in-law. So therefore, that proves that who is to say that it is good or bad to eat one's mother? Well, there is truth. There is objective truth. There is objective evil. And stop this nonsense. We have to start giving our youngsters ideological training. Because otherwise we lose that war without firing a bullet.
Okay, now you said you have speaking engagements, so you're going to be here for, what, about six
another
weeks?
Another 6 to 7 weeks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You say you won't cancel out on anything?
Absolutely not.
Have you had any threats so far?
Of course. On any day that I don't get threats, I sit down and question where have I gone wrong. Of course I get threats, but barking dogs never bite. Quite the contrary. I would pay these people to picket me because every picket line brings in at least 50 more people out of, you know, who are just curious, who would otherwise never show up. We invite the Arabs. We invite extreme black groups. We always send them an invitation. Always. And we never have problems. Never. Because they know, and unlike Jean, who is a good woman, but she doesn't realize that you don't play a game with two different sets of rules. If they set a certain kind of rules, then we'll play with their rules, and we'll be better at them, at their rules. A game is always with one set of rules, and leftists have always played it their way. Well, that's not the way I play the game.
I want to turn to one other factor, and then I'm going to turn you loose on our audience and our callers at 343-WMCA. If you're calling from Long Island, it's 883-WMCA. If you're calling from Westchester County, 237-WMCA. I'll give you other phone numbers as we go along. A few weeks ago, a continuation of assault on the yeshiva up in Washington Heights, and the JDL offered its services and were turned down. I interviewed the dean of the yeshiva, and he spoke rather harshly about the JDL. Are you aware of this?
Of course. In fact, I was supposed to be there tonight at 9. Not only did the faculty say no, but every student club, which has to sponsor speakers, said You can speak, however, there was a whole bunch of conditions there. No press, don't say this, don't say that. Obviously, I don't buy that, so I'll be speaking there anyhow tonight without sponsorship. That's a tragedy. That's a tremendous tragedy. I know quite a bit about the situation there. It didn't begin today or yesterday or a month ago. It began years and years ago when Jewish youngsters were beaten up and Jewish youngsters were insulted. And they did what, unfortunately, so many Jewish youngsters do best. They just turned away and they were better than all the rest. They didn't sink to their level. So what happens when you don't sink to their level is you sink six feet below. So the fact is that I don't like violence. I don't like fighting. But if someone calls you a dirty Jew or a dirty anything, you don't take that. Because the great oaks of Auschwitz grow from those little acorns of insults and pushing and so on. And we acquire a reputation, which is a good one, and that's bad.
Mayor Kahana, and if you're calling from New Jersey,
would you put the earphones on, Rabbi Kahana? Okay, that's just fine. You're on WMCA with Rabbi Meir Kahana. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Yes.
Mr. Grant, this is Evelyn calling from New Jersey. I listened to Meir Kahana a few minutes ago mentioning that Harlem was part of the United States. And again, are you insinuating that Harlem isn't?
Is who insinuating Harlem isn't?
Did you insinuate, or did I misunderstand that Harlem isn't part of the United States?
Now, which one of these two gentlemen are you talking to?
To you, Mr. Grant.
No, I was just underscoring the fact that it is part of the United States and that some people don't think it is.
Oh, because I, like, you know, in Gary, Illinois, blacks cannot walk through that neighborhood. But I think rather than preaching hate, it would be a little better if we would try to get it together. I know you have a distaste for black people, regardless whether they're done.
Do you want to talk to Mayor Connor?
No, I don't want to.
I see. Well, I'll tell you what. The next time I'm taking open phone calls, Evelyn, when I don't have a guest,
Evelyn,
then you and I will talk. How's that?
All right, thank you.
You're on WMCA with Mayor Connor. Go ahead, please.
This is Liz of New York. Firstly, may I commend you, Mr. Grant, and WMCA for giving a diversified opinion of the news weekly. And with respect to Meir Kahana, I am exceptionally proud of any man that would stand up and speak his piece the way he does. There is nothing to be afraid of. I agree with him. I don't think he's anti-anything. He's pro-American. And it's about time we got Cotton Mather back in. And our founding fathers and stood up for what we really believe. What are we afraid of? The next fellow who is a bully? Yes, I'm proud of him. Go on and never again, my dear. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
All that. Right. That's Rosalind was the name, I think. You're on WMCA. Hello, Long Island. At 883 WMCA. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Yes.
Sandy from Ocean Thrive.
Yes, Sammy.
How you doing? Listen, I met with Rabbi Kahana about a week and a half ago. He's out in Temple of Oda.
I just came in, right.
I want to direct this question to the rabbi. At that time, one of the presidents of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League,
yes,
spoke against Rabbi Kahana, and Rabbi Kahana challenged him to a debate. I want to know if the president of the ADL ever accepted this debate.
Yes, he has.
He has. Are you going to speak with him?
Yes, I will. I will. And what we're doing now is just working on where and exactly when. But it's on, and it'll be a beauty. It'll be great.
Sure will. Well, good luck. Rip him apart, Rabbi.
I sure will.
I know.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a brief time out for this WMCA weather.
Joe from Flushing. Hello. Hello?
Yes, Joe.
Now, I want a question about Meir Kahana.
Yes, go right ahead.
Kapuchi and Arafat and Khomeini were the ones in cahoots to keep our hostages. Now, these were the same men who caused the trouble in Lebanon the other day. I wonder whether any one of your group ever publicized these things, that Kapuchi together with Arafat and Khomeini are still working and taking care of our soldiers there.
I don't think that's any great secret. I mean, I think that everyone knows, that everybody knows that this is, you know, true.
No, then the government never mentioned anything about it.
Well, I think, I mean, you know, I have, you know, certainly heard it, and, you know, seen it, and there is no question about it. That's not the problem. The problem isn't knowing who is guilty. The question is, what are we going to do about it? That's the question. And I want it, and I must tell you that I think that this entire tragedy will only get worse. They sent in those troops as sitting ducks. What peacekeeping force? What are they doing there? If they're there, let them go in and put down the Syrians, put down the PLO. Otherwise, they shouldn't be there. In fact, I've got to say this. I was on a radio program yesterday in Washington, D.C.
Yes?
Tom Braden's show. And Tom Braden said to me, and Braden is one of the Kennedy liberals, of course, a great, great friend of the Jewish people. And I'll show you how. He said, why should the Marines have to go in to help out Israel? And I said, listen here. How did the Marines get there? Reagan stopped Begin from wiping out the PLO and sent those poor troops in there as sitting ducks to stop Israel. Now, if they would have let the Israelis and Sharon and Begin wipe out the PLO, you don't treat your enemies well. You destroy your enemies. You kill your enemies. In World War II, which was the last war in which sanity reigned in this country, there was unconditional surrender. We bombed Dresden. We bombed Aachen. We bombed Hamburg. Did anybody protest then? What has happened to us? Those troops should either be pulled out or allowed to go in and show them what a Marine is.
Very good. Thank you very much, Joe Flushing. You're on WMCA. Hello.
Oh, hi. It's Bruce from Flushing. I'd like to talk to a mayor.
Here I am.
Okay. A couple of points. Number one, I was part of one of the groups that organized the Weinberg rally last year. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, I do. I was in Israel, but I read about it.
Okay. Now, this is... We gave it full exposure. We went to all the shuls. It was announced in shuls in Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn.
In the synagogues, yes.
Yeah. And only about maybe 1,000, not even, maybe a couple hundred people paid, 300 people. Of all the people who came, it was like maybe mostly kids in their 20s and early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting to a point now, I think, where Jews are too well off.
It's not Jews. It's everybody. I want to tell you something, Matt. The great threat to freedom or to, you know, decency and justice is not the enemy. It's apathy. It's indifference. Why in the world can Benjamin Spock, 80 years old, climb a fence? And where are all the decent people on the other side? Why can leftists draw hundreds of thousands of people for their cause? And why can't good people, decent people, do it for their cause? Don't condemn the leftists. They are doing for their cause. The real enemy is the apathy, the indifference, the good people who do nothing. They will guarantee tragedy.
Another point, you know, when I go to cocktail parties or whatever, and we talk about politics, and people are shocked because they ask me, who'd you vote for?
Yes.
And I said, Ronald Reagan. They said, how can you vote for Reagan? I said, well, I have a choice between him screwing up Israel, him screwing up America, rather him screw up America, because I'm a Jew first and American second. And people are like, how can you say that? It's easy. You know, I think people still have a ghetto mentality.
I want to say something to you. If that's true, you should be in Israel. Let me make that clear to you.
What?
If that's true, you should be in Israel. Now, let me, don't, look. I agree with you. So I went to Israel. Because this is a great, great country, and I don't ever want to get caught in this business of what am I first, what am I loyalty. If you're here, you have a serious problem. If you feel Jewish first, pick yourself up, your family up, and move to Israel. That is where you should be.
Granted.
What's behind the passenger seat?
How are you?
Before I ask my question, after the boy that was just on, I am a Jew who was born in America, and I am an American Jew, but you must realize that our laws, our constitution, most of it must have been copied from the Gomorrah and the rest of our beautiful laws. So there really is very little difference between a Jew and an American. That's what I have to say. But my question, Rabbi Kahane, is all day long and yesterday on TV and radio, including WMCA, I've heard people, politics and writers and so on and so forth, who put the blame on Israel for what happened in Beirut. And I want you to answer that, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, first of all, I'm always shocked at people who are always shocked. What did you expect? What did you expect from all these? What did you expect from a Flora Lewis in the Times? What do you expect from an Anthony Lewis? What do you expect from these people? Israel is always guilty. Israel is always to blame. Syria, of course, is nothing. There is no Russian problem. There's no Syrian problem. There's no PLO problem. Why are you shocked? Don't be shocked, and don't apologize to a George Ball. There is nothing that you can say that will ever make these people change. You just be convinced personally of the truth. And don't be upset about these people. I never debate these people, because if you debate them, you debase your views, your position. Why are you upset? Did you expect anything else? Any earthquake, Israel is to blame. A volcano erupts, Israel is to blame. Of course, don't be upset. Just make Israel strong. Be a good Jew. Help Israel. And that is the best answer to George Ball. And let George Ball eat his heart out.
All right. We'll continue. At 343 WMCA, Long Island, it's 883 WMCA. And you're on WMCA with Mayor Connor. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Bob.
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to address this point to you and Meyer. As you know, you've used the expression the back of ship left in this country, and I think that these terms are very confusing in the sense that I consider myself a liberal on some issues, maybe some, but in the sense that through our Constitution we can make changes to create more equity, but it doesn't mean we have to, you know, make this country seem like the heavy. And I think that anyone who is a really violent, at least in this country, foe of Israel is also basically a foe of America. In other words, the United States and Israel represent, according to them, the imperialists against the freedom-loving peoples of the Muslim and the Soviet world. Now, here's a point I'd like both of you to address yourselves to. During the period when the hostages were seized by the Iranians, there was this feeling that because of their anti-religious feelings and the Ayatollah's religious fanaticism, that the two could never get along. But I see somehow or other a rapprochement between them, if in fact it was a Shiite group working certainly with the Syrians and Russians against the Americans that was responsible for the bomb blast on Sunday. I was wondering if both you and Meyer could comment on that.
Well, look, in this world, there are no allies. There are interests.
Mm.
And never, ever say A can't get together with B. That's not true. Hitler and Stalin signed a common pact. Now, who would have imagined that in 1936?
Oh, you mean he got before that?
Right. It's now, Khomeini will get together with anybody.
Mm.
With the Syrians, with the Russians, and so on. The great devil is America.
Yeah.
And that's the tragedy. Now, that doesn't bother me. I am not bothered by the fact that Khomeini hates America or that the Russians hate America. And partly that Americans hate America. That is the problem.
The insanity that started the
thing. That's exactly right. And in a very, very similar manner, I'm not bothered by Arabs. Arabs are roaches. You step on them, you finish with them. What bothers me in Israel are the crazy Jews who march against their own government. And I want to tell you something. All those people who were cheering the people who march against this government in Vietnam, understand that when you march against your own government, it's a two-edged sword. Watch it. Just watch it.
Could I say just one other thing about that comment to what you're saying?
Yeah.
I have an Italian friend that made a comment. He always mentioned my West Side Jewish liberal friend. I said, I'm from the West Side and I'm Jewish and I may be liberal, but don't call me a West Side Jewish liberal in terms of the self-hating Jews who somehow or other had a side with the poor, downtrodden Palestinians. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, well, you know, you're right. And let me just tell you something. If a Jew talks about the Jewish liberals, that's one thing. If someone who isn't Jewish talks about it, watch out for him. Because someone who says a Jewish liberal has added nothing except anti-Semitism.
I understand what you're saying.
All right, so just, tell him to knock it off, because...
Wait one second.
Because in Italy, 30 to 34% of the country votes for who? You know for who? The Communist Party. Okay, so fine. All right. Good.
Thank you very much.
Rabbi Bob.
Okay.
Bye.
Buy Sealy now at fantastic savings at Berman's 13th Avenue Juvenile in Borough Park. Berman's is packed with super quality Sealy bedding that must be sold. Berman's is offering exceptionally low clearway sale prices on a huge selection of Sealy bedding, including Sealy Posturepedic. Choose your size, your firmness, your comfort, all very specially priced for this special clearaway sale. And whatever model you select, you can be sure that you'll be buying your best rest. Because when you buy Sealy, really, you're buying luxurious comfort lasting for...
Can I speak to Mr. Kahane?
Here I am, right here.
Mr. Kahane, my name is Mike. I'm from the Bronx.
Okay.
1967, I was a volunteer in the Six-Day War.
Okay.
I was living in Israel. Now, many things you say, I agree with in the general tone of your comments. But what I'm concerned is that if anybody disagrees with certain aspects of certain other positions you have, you're very rhetorical against them. And I feel...
I'm what? I'm sorry. I'm very what?
You're very harsh against them.
Okay.
You think immediately they got to be... Everybody has to completely 100% agree 100% with you, or they're not a good Jew. Now, there happens to be a lot of good, decent Jews who you may think are wrong, but, they are still decent people who work the land of Israel, who sacrifice, who gave their lives, and so forth. That's the first question. The second question...
I understand the question. Is that... I mean, it was...
Mike, I did not hear a question there.
It was a statement.
The question was, with an important viewpoint like you have, when you are harsh on other people who agree with one aspect of your position,
uh-huh.
does that not alienate a lot of people who could be very helpful to that?
Okay. I'll buy that. Okay.
The second question. You, just a couple minutes ago, referred to the Arabs as roaches.
Roaches, that's right.
I engage in contact with them, and I don't consider them roaches. I don't consider any human being roaches, and that's basically a fascistic statement to make, and no Jew should consider any other human being a roach, and that's got to be against basic Jewish principles.
Well, actually, and I'll take your second question first. Actually, I'm just really, really quoting the former chief of staff in Israel. Well, okay, but obviously, it's not just me. Apparently, there are a lot of other people that feel that Arabs are roaches in the sense that they are no problem for the, Jewish...
For the Jews, right?
Just, wait a minute. Tell you what, you just finish asking the question.
Right.
When you finish, just stop talking, okay? And then I'll talk, all right? Are you finished?
Sure.
Good. Okay. I want to tell you something. I could call the Arabs a lot worse. I'm sure that if I was speaking here about Nazis,
right.
I would hope that if the year was 1943, and someone was on this program and said the Nazis are roaches, I would imagine you would not get up and say, that's terrible, that's a fascistic statement. I would imagine you wouldn't. So it isn't that your opposition is towards the concept, it's that you really don't think Arabs are that bad.
Right.
That is the difference. Okay. So then, therefore, let's not put on this here moral plane, because roaches are okay if they're Nazis, see? Okay.
Right.
So our argument is about Arabs. Well, I want to tell you something. You fought in the 1967 war, and that's a fine thing.
Right.
But now you live in the Bronx.
Right.
And we have to live in Israel.
Right.
And let me tell you the great lesson, in my mind, of the massacre in Sabra and Shatila. Right. The only lesson, that's the Arab. That's what he would do to every Jew if he could. That's the Arab. And I want to tell you something. It's worse than vermin. These are people who would repeat a terrible kind of a Holocaust if they could. They won't because of people like me and the chief of staff of the Israeli army.
What about millions of other Jews who agree with me who don't think of them as rodents?
And that's a terrible, terrible problem. That's you cause Israel grave problems.
Well, I think you cause Israel grave problems.
Well, in the meantime, I'm... okay, fine. Now, see...
rhetoric.
Okay, that is what makes ball games. Right. And I think that you're a good Jew, but a wrong Jew, okay?
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for your call. Let's forge ahead here because a lot of people want to talk to Mayor Kahana. We're here on the Long Island line. Hello.
Rabbi Kahana.
Yes.
First of all, I'd just like to say to you, I think you're doing a terrific job, and strength be to you, and I hope I live to see the day when you're Prime Minister of the State of Israel.
Okay, thanks. I'm getting older. Yeah.
Question is number one. How will you be speaking at Yeshiva tonight, like you said, if you were not invited? And the second question is, where can one come to hear you speak in general while you're in New York?
Well, first of all, as to your first question, if I had a dollar for every time that I've spoken, even though I haven't been asked, I'd be, if not Rothschild, I'd be crowding him. And the fact of the matter is that I think that If a poll would have been taken of the students, they most certainly would have said, "Let him speak. We want to hear it." Mm-hmm. So therefore, I'll be speaking. If you'd like to hear me speak in the area, I'll be speaking on Wednesday night, tomorrow night at Temple Israel in Lawrence. That's 140 Central Avenue.
Okay.
And if you're in Bridgeport, we are going to hold a demonstration against Richard Ahrens, the leftist Trotskyite brother of the Minister of Defense of Israel, and I'll be speaking afterwards. The demonstration...
Let me interrupt for just a moment, because most people don't know about Richard Ahrens. They know Moshe Ahrens, right. And he's very highly regarded.
Yes.
And it's a great paradox that... someone like Moshe Ahrens, who is one of the most highly regarded, if not the most highly regarded man in political life in Israel, has as a brother Richard Ahrens. Would you tell us a little something about that?
Well, I think it's not so strange. I know I know Moshe Ahrens for many, many, many years. I was in the same movement, in the youth movement, that he of course led in 1940, 47, and 48 here in America. His family was a leftist family. His family was an anti-Zionist family. He is the aberration. His son, an Israeli, is anti-Israel. He lives out in Berkeley and goes out on campuses and, you know, speaks.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. I think that in there you have the self-hate which we see in Israel, in America, throughout the Western countries. That is decadence. That is self-hate. That is the enemy.
What about the push demonstration? When is that going
to
be?
Okay, now, we expect Jackson to formally announce that he is running either Thursday or Friday. On Monday, we have a press conference. The entire week, we'll be meeting with such liberal senators as Moynihan and Kennedy, demanding openly, and we are going to bring the press into their offices, demanding that they make a statement concerning some of Jackson's statements, which are so incredibly racist. And it'll probably be a week from this coming Monday at the PUSH headquarters in Harlem. And you certainly will hear about it, that's for sure.
All right. We'll get back to our calls in just a moment.
Oh.
Hello, Mayor Kahana?
Yes, speaking.
I wanted to tell you that I have the most enormous respect for you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Because you are a totally truthful man. And that's probably why you're on Bob Grant's program.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay.
And you're right.
Okay. I thought so. All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're on WMCA, and hello.
Yes, this is Mike from Brooklyn. I would like to ask Robert Kahane. He made a statement before that he should fight back. Okay, I agree with it to a point, but let me ask you, let's say you fight with the bully ones, right?
I'm sorry, if you fight what?
With the bully, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you get your gang or whatever, your friends, and they come, and the bully, they fight back.
Yeah.
How do you know that this bully, next time, is not going to get his gang and get guns or knives or whatever he has and come and attack you 10 times worse? And heaven forbid, he might do something very damaging to you. What do you have to say to that?
You know, I thought that thing died in the Warsaw Ghetto. I thought that kind of thinking died in Auschwitz. The tragedy of Auschwitz is that Auschwitz happened and this is still alive. What are you talking about? Bullies beat up people who don't fight back. The surest guarantee of being beaten is having a reputation of someone who doesn't fight back. What is wrong with you? You obviously don't know bullies. I do. You don't hang around bars. And you should. And you should get out of the yeshiva for just one night. That's all. Just one night. And sit around and listen. If a Jew or anybody will acquire a reputation of eating up bullies for breakfast, then bullies will find someone else to bully.
Okay, Mike, I hope you think seriously about what Mayor Connor just said.
Thank you.
Those of you who have an opportunity, I warmly suggest that you do go to Temple Israel in Lawrence tomorrow night at 7:30, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Mayor, I want to see you again, certainly before you return to Israel. Okay.
Anytime.
Tell them how your influence counts.
Hey, I want to run on Talk Radio with Rabbi Mayor Kahane.
Yes, Rabbi Kahane, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
I am calling from Virginia, and I, first of all, have noticed I'm a veteran of the United States military, and I'm retired. I'm a black minister here in town.
Would you keep your voice up, sir?
Yes. I'm retired from the military, and I have noticed in recent years a seemingly increase in the anti-Semitism among blacks against the Jewish people of this country. I would like to state here that I agree with you totally in your assessment of this Jackson candidacy and his stand on against Israel. His comments are couched with racism, and he is a danger not only to the Jewish nation, but he's also a danger to this country. It is people like him who have had no input into the military or to the defense of this country that always seem to want to tear it down.
George, let me ask you, this is Ray Brain. Why would you perceive him to be a danger? He has a point of view.
Okay, he has a point of view. However, he is grabbing, as the rabbi says, these various segments of the society who really are not doing anything for our country, but are attempting to freeload their way through life.
A lot of people, and I'm one of them, didn't like what Jane Fonda was saying all during the war years, and even today. But I certainly would defend her right to speak.
Right. Well, I'm not trying to take away his right to speak. However, the other side of the spectrum must be heard. Now, there are some people, especially blacks, who will not say anything. And they know that in private conversations and a lot, there's a lot of anti-Semitism, and this has to stop. Because it wasn't too long ago that the George Wallaces and some others were standing in the doorway saying, no, you can't come in. And now it seems that blacks have the audacity now to stand up and be chic in their racism, talking against the Jewish people. Now, this is wrong. And if the rabbi would permit me, I would like to become an aide to him from Virginia, and I offer my services to him in any way that I can to see that this message is gotten across to the blacks here in this town.
Well, sir, let me just say that you have made my day, my week, my month, and indeed probably my year. I think that you are a man of tremendous courage and a man of great. You are just honest. And I hope that every black out there realizes
that my attack upon Jackson has nothing to do with the color of his skin.
I understand that, Robert.
All right. Now, in that case, then, if you just take down this number, area code 212.
Just a moment, sir. Let me get
please.
A pencil to write. Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
212.
Yes, sir.
376.
Wait a minute. This thing's not ready.
Okay.
212-376.
3303. We'll be happy to speak with you. In fact, I'll be happy to come down to you, and we'll sit down. And now I want to tell you something, which I didn't want to say because I hate to feel that I have to show that we are not anti-black and so on, because that's an understood thing. We have blacks who are members. We have blacks who are deeply, deeply troubled by Jackson. And I don't want you to join because of your color. I want you to join because you understand the issue.
I understand the issue, and I firmly believe in what you said, and I know certain things. I was with Jackson this past, earlier this year, at the National Religious Broadcast Convention in Washington, D.C., at the Washington Sheraton. Jackson's whole demeanor was one of anti-white and racist in the way he came to that convention. He had no fellowship. He moved away as far as he could from anything that would connect him with the love of people and the love of God when there was a mixture of white and black. And he tried to remain totally black away from all of the fanfare of the convention. I thought this was wrong. When people were extending their hand in love, he did not respond.
Well, let me just say this to you. You have my hand, and I'll take yours, and let's hold it together and make this country one which is free from black and white bigots both.
All right, George, thanks for the call. Hello, June. You're on Talk Radio with Rabbi Meir Kahana.
Yes, this is Ty. How are you both?
Hi.
And we have someone that's running for black mayor here in Boston.
Yes, Mr. King, right?
Nationally, yes.
Mr. Mel King, right?
Right. Now, we have a station that's affiliated with... I'm calling from the station outside of Boston that's affiliated with the station that I'm talking through with you. And the man that is on that program that is the moderator is Jewish. And this man will not come on the air and confront him with the answer the questions that are being put to Mr. King. And I find here, as in other places, there is anti-Semitism. I'm in a city that has a lot of Jewish people here. I was brought up with a lot of Jewish people. I happen to have had a Christian background. But as I keep listening, it kind of bothered me as it did one other person who called earlier. There was a Craig here that had called earlier in accuracy in media. And I feel that sometimes people who have a real dedication to what where they're coming from and their concepts sometimes become super subjective because we are really caught up with what we really are dedicated in doing. And sometimes I can only speak for myself, and maybe we can see yourself in this, that if we become so wrapped up in what we're doing, we sometimes forget to look around us on the peripheral vision to see that maybe we're too far over to one side or the other in our dedication. Because I also heard what that man said, and I don't think that, I personally don't feel it was a fair judgment, an assumption to say that before he came on, he was not a Jewish backer. I will back anybody that I feel is fair and is honest and is dedicated to help all people in brotherhood. But what I didn't hear was when you spoke to this man, you kept calling him my dear fellow, whereas with the last gentleman, you both went into the sir concept. So I think that's rather, to me, a rather condescending attitude. And I wish you the best, and I really feel that we don't understand the Eastern slant, but if we're going to say that all people are good people, that as this man also stated, unless you were Jewish, then we have to say that it tips the scale a little, and I don't feel, just because, and I'm not a Baptist, but I am a Christian, but we read both sides of the Bible because we feel you are chosen people. But we are all, in my concept, God's people, and I think that's where you and I would disagree. I think that you are a rather arrogant person, although I feel you totally believe what you're saying, but I think in a sense that arrogant people are also very naive, because your concept comes from your strength of being totally into what you're saying. So,
all right, June, you made your statement. We're out of time. You can respond to that briefly.
Well, you know, I don't want to get into if I'm arrogant or not. It bothers me that in this entire thing that you aren't angry and upset that Jesse Jackson is supporting fully the PLO, which wants to wipe out Israel. That's all that matters on this issue.
All right, June, thank you very much. My guest, controversial Rabbi Meir Kahane. What is the truth about Rabbi... Reverend Jesse Jackson. What is the truth, as you see it?
He is a danger to Israel, an anti-Semite. And
you base that on what? Well, things that he said?
Oh, yes. Certainly. I mean,
What are some of the quotes he said?
Well, for example, if I say he's a danger to Israel, picture... Assuming that he would be president, someone who told Penthouse magazine in 1981, Arafat is a mighty politician. He is an educated, urbane, reasonable man. I think his commitment to justice is an absolute one. Arafat, who is committed to wiping out Israel, to planting bombs in marketplaces, is his commitment to justice is an absolute one. If that's what Jesse Jackson thinks, God help Israel, God help this country. That's just one example of this.
Give me another quote that you think makes him anti-Semitic.
Well, another quote. When it came to the division of power, we did not get from the Jews the slice of cake that we deserved. From the Jews? Why the Jews? Why not anybody? The Jews do not share with us their control of wealth, broadcasting stations, and other centers of power. What we have here is what has been set down in the protocols of the Elders of Zion. The Jews run the country and the world, run the country and the world. It's the Rockefellers and the Morgans and all the others. What you have here is a demagogue who knows that because Jews are shopkeepers in black areas which were once Jewish neighborhoods, that's how they got there in the first place, and because the Jews are teachers and good teachers and caring teachers, he can use them as the scapegoat. He is a demagogue and a dangerous one because he's so good at it.
All right, if you'd like to talk with my guest, Rabbi Meir Kahane, here's how. To call in, just dial 212-877-WABC. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Once again, the number where you can reach me is 212-877-WABC. I'm Ray Bream, and this is Talk Radio 77, WABC. Hello, Kenny. You're on Talk Radio with Rabbi Kahane.
Hello, Ray. Hello.
Good morning.
Babaya. Hello, Maya.
Yes.
Listen, you heard that Jesse Jackson got a 24... Yesterday, the Secret Service... Yes, Reagan, for the Secret Service, gave him a 24-hour guard.
Oh, really? No, I didn't...
Yeah, he's getting Secret Service protection.
Well, okay, I mean,
okay.
You know... I mean, Glenn also has it. Neil Mondo, too. All the candidates.
Just Glenn. That's all. 2.5 months before. Just I don't know why Glenn asked for it. He wasn't supposed to get it for another 2 months.
I see. Okay, fine. Okay.
Now, listen.
All right.
There's a contract. The Klan's supposed to put a contract out on him.
Who?
The Klan. The Ku Klux Klan.
Where did you hear that?
I heard it because I don't have any sources. I want to tell you something also.
Where did you hear that? I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
Well, where did you hear that?
Because one, I heard on the 700 Club. He used to be a former Klan member. He was 14 years with the Grand Wizard Ku Klux Klan, and he's now a born-again Christian. He says the Klan is going to kill Jesse Jackson. All right, it's not hard to believe, because he's going to go in there with the black registration in the South Midwest and push their man's aid back. You know, there's voter registration, and push their man out, put these legislatures in, and it's going to hurt them. So it's not hard to believe. Plus, I want to tell you, You were supposed to also said to get him, and some man, a member of your organization called up Schiffer Hoffman, and called up and said he's going to get him or waste him, something like that.
Let me just end this. Hold on a second. Wait a minute.
Kenny,
listen. Easy. Look. No JDL member. No JDL member said that.
Yeah, I heard him call up on the radio.
No, you heard someone say. You heard someone say that he is
a member of JDL.
Okay. The worst thing that could happen for our cause would be this. We are opposed absolutely to using violence against Jackson, but that would only help Jackson.
Right, I'm trying to tell you.
We have an issue here that we can and will use on a level of reasoning and arguing and debate. That's where it is. So therefore, don't get excited.
No, I'm telling you, you're on good. You could
be dead. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it, but there is no JDO member, okay?
All right, thank you. Hello, Bruce. You're on Talk Radio with Rabbi Kahane.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning.
Listen, I'm concerned. I've seen several documentaries and a couple of films regarding the blacks in Ethiopia, the black Jews.
The black Jews in Ethiopia, yes.
And I'm rather concerned because this seems to be a terrible situation. These people are in terrible straits, and it seems that Israel is just dragging their feet and just leaving them there to die in the dirt.
Well, let me say this to you. You know, I live in Israel,
right,
and I'm deeply, deeply worried about those Jews, as I think are all Jews.
But they're black.
Wait.
This could be a very good example to the blacks in this country.
No. I couldn't care less about being an example to blacks, greens, whites, or polka dots. I care about those black Jews because they are Jewish, as the Soviet Jews are, and not because they're white or they're black. So stop this nonsense. I don't want to prove anything to anybody. Those people should be helped because they should be helped, period.
Exactly.
Now, it is a complex problem. It is a complex problem. What do you want Israel to go do? It is a dictatorship, a Marxist country. What should Israel do? You tell me now.
From what I've seen is that the country has just more or less taken them as refuseniks and put them into these camps and just left them sitting there.
Where?
Waiting.
Where? Which country?
Ethiopia.
Now, what should Israel do? Okay, tell me. Now, what should Israel do? Tell me.
Well, it's from what I understand, that what some people are saying is that Israel is dragging its feet.
What should Israel do? Tell me.
Settle them somewhere in the kibbutz.
Settle them somewhere in the... How do you get them out of a country which doesn't want to let them out? Tell me.
Well, that's not the story that they're putting out.
Okay, well, I don't know who is, you know, stories they're putting out. We are troubled by it. We are working on it. We are frantic about it. It is not a simple matter.
Thank you, Bruce.
A Marxist country, and you can't just say, let my people go, and they say yes. They just don't do that.
Thanks for the call. You're on Talk Radio with Rabbi Kahane. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to ask the rabbi where he's from.
Where I'm from?
Yes.
I was born in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
Great place to be born.
Seems like you're just a KKK masquerading behind a Jewish cloth.
That's the way it goes.
Well, I guess you're entitled to it, but why are you here instead of trouble?
Look, Jesse Jackson is a bad guy. If you can't see it, it's too bad.
You're texting all blacks. You've indicated Fauntroy.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All blacks. It's not just Jesse Jackson.
That's exactly right. In fact, I'll go even further. If I had gone to South Africa just for a visit, what would you say?
I think there is a connection between South Africa and Israel.
Right. So you'd be angry, right?
When
Walter Fauntroy and Joseph Lowry and all these people go visit with the PLO, that bothers me. If it doesn't bother you, then don't join us.
No, I wouldn't join you. I really think Jackson is trying to bring together a coalition of people, the one you consider outcasts and so forth, is the group he is appealing to, because they have never had the kind of representation in the office of the president. I don't see why that should be attacked. Nor should I see a connection between Israel. Israel is one country in the world. Why should anyone who says anything that you consider anti-Israel be unfit to be run for president? I'm sure you mentioned the Ethiopians, the blacks in Ethiopia, their dictatorship. What, aren't the Soviet Union a dictatorship also? You're doing things for Soviet Jews. What? Same thing for black Jews. How you treat the black American Hebrews over there? How do you treat the Sephardic Jews? I mean, maybe you should clean your own house up before you come out into this country and try to, you know, attack another black person.
You know, I don't even know where to even start because of your lack of knowledge of just about anything. Sephardic Jews? What are you talking about? What do you know about them? My son is married to this girl from Tunis, a Sephardic Jew. What are you talking about? The president of Israel was a Sephardic Jew. The chief of staff of Israel is a Sephardic Jew. What are you talking about? You don't know anything, and in you I see the arrogance of ignorance.
Really?
The arrogance of ignorance.
How do you treat the black Hebrews there? You treat them like you treat everybody else?
My dear fellow, my dear sir, the black Hebrews of Israel are not Jewish. There are black Jews who are, of course, Jewish. The black Hebrews are a bunch of thugs from Chicago who originally went to Liberia and were thrown out of the country by Liberians. They came to Israel, and unfortunately, the government of Israel, out of fear of what would be a reaction in the world and in the Amsterdam News, doesn't have the courage to toss these people out, even though they constantly hold a press conference attacking Israel. These are not Jews. These are people, these are blacks, who call themselves black Hebrews and say that they are the real seed of Abraham and that they will take over Israel. If I were the prime minister, I would toss them out. A Jew is a Jew, whether he's black, white, or anything else. These are not Jews.
All right, Clyde, thank you. My guest, Rabbi Meir Kahana. This is press asked, of course, the reaction from presidential candidate, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, to the charges you made. And he said, well, first of all, this is Jackson speaking, first of all, I'm not anti-Semitic. I regret so much that these charges were leveled and that it's an attempt to continue to fuel dissension between blacks and Jews who've been allies so long. We have so much more to gain by being together than apart, unquote. That's his reaction.
Yeah, well, he's a shrewd guy. Obviously, he has been hurt. And obviously, he is now thinking that he will speak to all of the Jews who want him to say this, who want to hear this. And he has, of course, said it. I don't believe him. I want him to get up and state that he is sorry for having said what he said about the PLO. Embracing the head of the PLO, he regrets that, and he'll never say that. Just this last Saturday, he spoke before an Arab group in Los Angeles, in which, and that is a group which is a totally for the PLO. He is a liar. He's a demagogue. He's a fraud, and I'll say it again.
Okay, here's Rabbi Alexander Schindler, president of the Union of American Hebrew Organizations. And he said, the JDL is, quote, a minuscule group that makes a lot of noise and whose tactics are abhorrent to most Jews and decent people everywhere, unquote.
Well, I think that Rabbi Schindler, who is, of course, one of the great losers in the American Jewish leadership, should stop dealing with issues by saying that we are small. Let's assume that we are a small group. What relevance does that have to the truth of what we say? Rabbi Schindler, if he knew anything about Judaism, which he doesn't, his greatest grace and luck is that his congregation knows less than he does. If he would know, he would know that Abraham was called Abraham the Hebrew. Hebrew comes from the Hebrew word, which means the other side. And the rabbis tell us that the whole world stood on one side, and Abraham stood alone on the other side, and he said, I am right. And he was right. He was a small, minuscule man, and yet he was right. Numbers don't matter. Truth does.
Hello, Sam. You're on Talk Radio with Rabbi Meir Kahana.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Rabbi.
How you doing? Morning.
All right. I wanted to ask, you know, the first thing I want to say, I'm a retired military also. I got 30 years plus. I was in every war down through Vietnam, World War II.
Yes, sir.
And now I remember, you know, when Jesse was embraced in Arafat, you know, really, when he was over in the Middle East over there.
That's right.
And I got a different impression than you, and I want to try to see if, you know, if I'm anywhere near close. You know,
oh, okay.
I thought he was doing this because that he wanted Israel and the PLO to sit down and talk about this difference, you see. And this is what I thought his stand was. Now, did I get a misconception of what he was doing, or is that this demagoguery that you say he has that was coming out, or what?
Yes, I think so. I think that anyone who calls this person, who, you know, bear in mind again that Arafat calls for the destruction of Israel. When you take this person and embrace him, and then you call him educated, urbane, reasonable, and his commitment to justice is an absolute one, what would you think if I came and embraced and some Nazi leader who wants to ship blacks back to Africa, or some KKK person who wants to you know, I don't know what to the blacks, what would you say? Would you sit and say, well, maybe he just wants to get him to talk? Oh, no. You don't embrace someone like that. And furthermore, you don't say such things as, Arafat is the expression of the yearning of the Palestine people for freedom. They put bombs in the marketplace and kill